On my watch, we'll celebrate the 40th anniversary of the commencement of diplomatic relations between the Holy See and Australia. But it's only under Tim Fischer since 2009 that there's been a resident ambassador in Rome, and I am the second resident ambassador, successor to Tim Fischer. On Tim Fischer's watch was the canonisation of St Mary MacKillop, which was a national event of international significance, taking place in the most famous forum of spiritual importance in the world. Australia stopped for the canonisation. Tim Fischer had much to do with the organisation and strategy behind that and is recognised as such in Australia. He is, in all his role here, both a challenge to me and a benchmark. And I can only say this, however, that if it is a part of our diplomacy that you must be an expert on trains and that you must have a large range of big hats, then I'm left at the station. I won't be able to compete with Tim in those ways, but in respect of representations about human rights, representations about religious freedom, representations about food security, about anti-trafficking, about peace and reconciliation in the world and between cultures and peoples, I will be as assiduous in my submissions to the Holy See and in approaches to the Holy See as Tim Fischer was on his watch. This is an important part of where things happen in the world, particularly in cultural and religious and spiritual terms. It's important that Australia is here. Tim Fischer established the profile. I hope to take it further.
You say that during your watch you'll be marking the 40th anniversary of relations between the Holy See and your country. Do you have any plans already in the pipeline, anything you can share with us in the way that you'll be marking that?
Yes, I've already had discussions with the Foreign Minister, Senator Carr, and Australia plans to have a series of events to mark that 40th anniversary. I will be organising for our Foreign Minister and indeed the Shadow Foreign Minister, the Honourable Julie Bishop, to be in Rome during 2013. We would be proposing to hold a conference to review various parts of that diplomatic history and to have an exhibition that would bring some highlights to that. I must say that fortunately, and at their own volition, a whole series of my predecessors have already indicated to me that they would make their own way to Rome to be present on this occasion. There is interest in Australia in the fact that it's the 40th anniversary, both within the department and the government as a whole. We've found that there is a level of excited interest in this in the Courier also. So next year, it'll be one of the events that Australia will be celebrating. It'll be one of the events that we'll be celebrating with the Holy See.
It'll be a significant moment, and yet, of course, Australia is one of the most secular countries in the world today, isn't it? How do you see, perhaps, the changing role of the church there?
Well, I'm not sure if the figures about the level of religious practice and secularity necessarily reflect the whole of the atmosphere and outlook of a country. Certainly it is the case that Australia is more religious than France, but maybe not as religious as the United States or the Philippines. However, we certainly have a fairly large and vibrant Christian community in Australia, of which the Catholic Church is an extremely important part. There are hardly areas of both the wider community endeavours in health, education, welfare that the Catholic Church is not part of, and it is an institution of nationwide significance with international connections with which governments at both federal, state and local level continuously are required to deal. It is not a situation where the church is about to disappear or the church is not doesn't have a significant presence in Australia. It does and it will continue to do so.
You mentioned some of your key areas of concern. You mentioned food security, religious freedom, human rights. Your particular background is in defending the rights of the Aboriginal people in Australia, isn't it?
It's one of the areas. I was at the Queen's Council for 24 years and I've been at the bar for 35 years in Australia, acting as an advocate. One of the parts of that that has been extremely important to me is that I've been involved with Indigenous peoples, with their legal issues, but in particular with native title, and that is land rights in the Australian context. I had the honour to be the senior counsel for the native title claim, which was the first to succeed on the mainland under the Native Title Act, after the famous Mabo case, which involved the recognition of native title in the Torres Strait. But after the Native Title Act itself was passed in 1993, the first recognition of native title on the Australian mainland was in the Macleay Valley in New South Wales for the Dungutty people, and I was senior counsel in relation to that claim.
The church is very involved, isn't it, in also trying to improve living conditions for the native peoples, and yet it seems there's still an awful long way to go before they are able to take their rightful place within Australian society.
I think that's fair comment. It's not only a distance that has to be travelled, it's the number of people that are going to be and would be involved. The church is significantly involved, so are a whole series of other agencies and organisations and federal government. It is a difficult issue. It is not something that one can say Australia has had outstanding success. But one of the important things that should be a part of any framework to discuss Australia is that there was the major apology by the Rudd government in 2008, which was a world historical event. That is, all the world took note of what had happened in the Australian Parliament at that time, and I'm proud to say that that statement, framed and embossed, is at the front of our embassy here to the Holy See. It is a statement of Australia's both the depth of concern and of the aspiration for bringing about an Australian society in which all our citizens, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, have a way of life and the opportunities in life that are equally spread and can yield a result that makes us a fair country in the way that our national anthem suggests that we should.
Part of that task of making it a fair country is also recognising the history, isn't it? And you've actually presented here, or are planning to present to Pope Benedict, a map, a very unusual map of Australia before white men ever arrived on the island.
Well, famously, the Secretariat of State in its Cloisters area has one of the remarkable maps of the 16th century, which has been painted by, I think, one of Michelangelo's followers or students in that era. It shows the outline of all the continents. It represents the state of the art or the state of knowledge in the 16th century. What is missing is the Great Southland. Australia is simply not there. One of the things I'm in Rome to do is to put Australia on the map, and that's a part of the map that we're thinking of at state. Now, in Australia, to just hand say, well, Australia's missing, here's a map of Australia, it would be a bit of an anachronism. You'd be handing a map of modern Australia, that is Australia since white settlement. 16th century, there wasn't white settlement in Australia. What one needed to have to balance that, not that we want anything painted in, but that the Vatican have, in the Secretariat of State, that the Holy Father be aware of the fact that there is a map, a depiction of what Australia was like before white settlement, before 1788, and a map of that era has in actual fact been prepared. And I brought copies of this to Rome, and I propose that these will be presented to the Holy Father and the Holy See.
It's a map prepared by local people?
By the Studies Centre in relation to Aboriginal issues and Aboriginal peoples in Canberra. It's one of the major research bodies that we have in this area, and they are very proud of this particular map.
Just a final question. You mentioned your predecessor's passion for trains, for rather obvious hats from the Australian continent. I'm just wondering whether you yourself have any particular hobbies, any unusual pastimes that you'd like to share with us?
You'll hear more from me about the fact that I've been a trustee of the Sydney Cricket Ground and also been involved in university administration at the University of Sydney. There are a number of things that I'm extremely interested in respect of not only international relations, but of sport and of athletics and cricket and so on. And there'll be things I'll be having a look at while on my watch in Rome. All I can say is in relation to these activities, I represent one of the most prominent sporting nations in the world, at the Holy See, and all I can say over all of this is watch this space.
We will look forward to watching this space. Thank you very much.